today on Living on Every Word.
He says this, "My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They know me. They follow me. And I give them this eternal life. And guess what? They will never, ever, ever perish." He keeps you. And he's never let go. This is what eternal life is about.
When talking about eternal life, we tend to focus on the life beyond. But what about the here and now? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher continues to explain how eternal life can be experienced every single day in part two of What God Gives.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 22. We've been talking about this whole thought last week about praying for the church and how Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. One of the great things about what we know of Scripture, of what God tells us about Himself and about the Son and about the Holy Spirit, that Jesus continues to pray for us. The Bible says that He intercedes for us, or the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He also is praying according to the will of God. Jesus prays for you today. And as we think about prayer, and as we think about moving towards Him in praying to Him and to speaking to Him and interceding on others' behalves, there's just some really clear things in Scripture about the will of God and what the will of God is. I often hear people say, "I just don't know what the will of God is for my life." And oftentimes that means career-wise or what's going on in my life and my circumstances. But God has painted the broad stroke for us of what His will is for us. That's to be like Him. Period. To be like Jesus Christ in everything and all that we do. And we always start there. I think that's so important that we're starting there and continuing there, because does it all really matter after that? The will of God being accomplished in our lives. And the Bible says that He prays according to the will of God. When you look at John chapter 17, where we looked last week, and if it's up on the screen, John 17, after Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him." What He says next is, "I have accomplished Your will by doing the things that You sent me to do." Right? He also says that this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Verse 4, "I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You've given Me to do." I think about the work of Jesus in your life, the work of Jesus in my life, and I find this in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse 24 for just a moment. "The Jews then gathered around Him and were saying to Him, 'How long will You keep us in suspense? If You're the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. I've already told you who I am. I've told you that I'm the Christ. I told you, but you don't believe Me. The works that I do in My Father's name, these testify about Me." What is that? The work that God accomplished. The work that Christ accomplished testifies about Me. He says, testifies about God. Testifies and gives witness to who God is. And it's right there before you, He says, these folks. But the reason why you don't see is because you're not believing. And because you're not believing, you're not seeing. Very important. You don't believe Me. These works, they testify. The things that I do in people's lives, they testify of Me. But you don't believe because you're not of My sheep. Verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, I love what He says here. Just as He has said in John chapter 17, notice what He says in verse 27. He says that "I give to them eternal life. I give eternal life to them, and they will never, ever perish." Eternal life is the gift. And you can say it in a lot of different ways here. You can talk about it being justified by faith in receiving this salvation of God. But oftentimes, Jesus uses the word eternal life. And we saw last week that this eternal life is the life of God in you. It's like the life of God that He breathes into you, that He breathed into Adam and Eve, the life that they lost when they sinned. And yet Jesus comes 2,000 years later, and He dies on this cross, and He sends the Spirit of God into your life to breathe God life into you. And He says, here's this life, and this life is eternal. It's always. It will never, ever end. And we spoke a little bit last week that how we can get hung up in the eternal aspects of it, because one day we get to go to heaven with Jesus, but we miss what life is really all about. And we miss giving that life away and walking that life out. I think it's really interesting that Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Notice what he says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Notice what he says. Take hold of the eternal life. The word means to seize, to grab it. Now, here's a thought here. We have this eternal life. God gives it to us, but we must live it out. We must seize it. Carpe diem, right? Seize the day. I thought about that when I thought of the word and looked at this word seize. But it says seize the day, right? What is that saying? Well, everyone has this, everywhere in this place, unless you die today, has the same amount of time today. It's a gift to you. This day's a gift to you and to me. And when we talk about seizing the day, what that means is to make every opportunity that the day gives to you, to live it out to its fullest. There are some people in this world, they don't seize the day. They get up in the morning and they watch the news shows, and they walk through, and they go through the evening and the afternoon, and they've sat in front of the television all day. They've done nothing at all. They've done nothing at all. Have they seized the day? Have they seized the gift of that day to live it, as Jim Elliot would say, to the hilt, to live it to the max? And this is what he's saying here. Listen, fight this good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life. Seize this day, seize this eternal life. It means to practically appropriate all the benefits, privileges, and responsibilities involved in the possessing of eternal life or in the possession of eternal life. You have to have it, but you must appropriate all the benefits, the privileges, and responsibilities involved in possessing eternal life. That's what it means to take hold of, to seize it. God's given you this opportunity, and you practically appropriate those benefits. Now, you know, when I grew up in my parents' home, right? And there were certain privileges, and there were certain benefits, and there were certain responsibilities in living in under Mike and Carol Fritcher's roof. And if I wanted to have a good, growing relationship with my father and my mother, I had to seize the gift that they were giving to us in as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, and even today in my relationship with them. To seize the gift, to seize the life with Fritchers. I had to live with appropriate those benefits. I had to appropriate those rules. I had to appropriate those responsibilities, or else it would be hard. How many of us have experienced rebellious children who want to do their own thing when they want to do it and how they want to do it? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Well, it's the same thing. When God talks about eternal life, He could be talking about the kingdom of God. He could be talking about the household of God. It's the same thing. And yet there are certain benefits and privileges, and there's certain responsibilities to maintain the relationship, the intimate, growing relationship with God that God wants with us and that you want in your heart with our great God. Appropriating benefits, appropriating privileges, appropriating responsibilities. And I think when I look at John chapter 10, verses 24 and following, I see some great privileges and some great benefits of being a part of this eternal life experience with Christ. And I think that one of the things that I look at it, when I see this, I see this Jesus saying to these folks who don't believe him, he said, you don't believe me. You don't believe me because you're not of my sheep. You're not of my household. You're not of my kingdom. You're not of eternal life. My sheep do something specific and they appropriate the benefits. They appropriate the things of the kingdom. I think one of the greatest benefits of the kingdom of God is the very act of faith, or having faith. Here's a benefit. When you come to Christ, you know, I believe, but he gives us this faith to believe. What is it that we believe about God? Well, we believe his word. We believe his promises. From the very beginning, when after man fall, the whole line of Scripture is about promises. God giving you this hope, these words to believe, to grasp. I often think about Abraham. Abraham's faith was something that was very, very phenomenal to me. Keep your place in John and go to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 4, 16. Abraham was promised an impossible promise from human standpoint. Sarah, like most wives, wants to be a mama. And there's something in these beginning stages of history of God's people that speak of the blessing of being a mama. And she wants a child, and Abraham wants a child, and she's barren year after year after year after year. And God comes along to Abraham when he's about 75 years old, and he begins making this promise. I'm going to make you a blessing. And by you, your seed is going to bless all the nations of the earth. And the Bible talks about this, talks about in Genesis chapter 12 and following. And Abraham is hearing the word. He's hearing this promise that he's going to be a blessing. But God has not yet told him how that blessing is going to happen. And so he's having a hard time believing. Now, he's moving along with God, and he's building altars, and he's worshiping God, but yet to the respect to the promise of God at that particular point is that he doesn't know how that's going to happen. Because why? One day in Genesis chapter 15, he's going to say, hey, you tell me I'm going to have this great nation. Listen, the only person in my household is a foreigner. It's somebody that's been born not of me. His name is Eliezer, and he's of Damascus, and he's going to get every blessing, and he's going to get every inheritance that I have. And he says, this will not be your heir. For someone will come from you. Someone will come from Sarah. The Bible says that God took him out to the stars and he said, look at all these stars, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, then he believed in God and it was reckoned to him as righteous. Believing impossible promises from the flesh, from the human experience, because God said so. God speaks, we believe. And what's so great about believing in Christ, if you truly believe in him, you don't need a sign. You don't need the works. Because it's something that God puts in you that you know is from God, that you know it's his gift. And that's what we need. We need this thought that I believe this because God said it and he's placed this faith in me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to choose to believe God. Now, it's something very interesting that he says about Abraham in chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. For this reason it is by faith. What is? Eternal life is by faith. Salvation, justification, to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be made like Christ, is by faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace. So that the promises, watch this, will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, he's writing not only to Jews, he's writing to Gentiles. And he's saying to the Gentile, this faith is for you. This life is for you. This eternal life is for you. And it's according to faith, so it can be by grace. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of God whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now, I just got to say something about this. He believed in a God who gives life And that's Zoe to the dead. That is God life to the dead. And he calls into being that which does not exist. Here's Abraham saying, I believe in this eternal life. I believe in this word of God. And this is what we have. We choose to believe. And what do we choose to believe? We believe in hope against hope. In hope against hope, that God gives life to the dead and he calls being to that which does not exist. And when you and I have that kind of eternal life, that's the kind of faith we have. So that when we are out and about and there's somebody with no hope, we're believing that God can give them hope, can't we? We're believing that God can raise them from the dead, that God can give them life, that God can speak life into that which is dead and see resurrection and to see life. It's what we're all looking for. It's what we're all looking for. And what does he say about it? He says, we believe it. This is a benefit of the kingdom. It's the benefit of the eternal life. But I must choose to believe. I must choose to believe that when it's the darkest place of my life, when I'm struggling with things that are out of my control and I have no control over them, I have to believe that he is the God who gives life to the dead and he calls into being that which does not exist. Sometimes I got to say it, and I got to say it all over. And I got to say it again and again. Because I know there's hard situations and hard circumstances, but I want to tell you, my sheep believe me. They hear me. It's a benefit to hear God, to believe God. Now, you know, here's another thought. To believe, I've got to have eyes to see. And God opens those eyes. Now, there's a great passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Great passage of Scripture on faith, chapter 4. Because we do have this faith, verse 16, we do not lose heart. But though our inner man, outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day because, here it is, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now watch verse 18. While we are looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what the context of this passage is? Notice in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God, a power will be of God and not from ourselves. Watch, we are afflicted in every way. That's what I see. That's what I experience. But what's the unseen? But we're not crushed. Afflicted in every way. We're not crushed, perplexed. That's what I see, but the unseen is I'm not despairing. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Wow. Here's a man that is walking through persecution and affliction of every kind. He is perplexed, forsaken, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then he says, hey, this eternal weight of glory is being produced while we look at the things unseen. What are you looking? I put on glasses today and I need these glasses. But you know, what is it that I need to look at in my circumstances today? How many of you are going through affliction today? Yeah. Affliction. Will I dare to believe that momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory while I look not at what's afflicting me, but what God is doing in my life as a result of the affliction? That to me is hope. That's what Abraham saw. He saw with spiritual eyes. He saw that which was unseen. He saw the promise of God in his life that God would make him a great nation, fulfill the desires of his wife, fulfill his desires for himself, and along the way to bless every one of us because we would one day possess the same kind of faith he does. You got to see. You've just got to see. Now, I've just been asking God, I want in all the circumstances that I go through as a pastor and as a man and in this life, I want to see as you see, God. I want to see. You know, but there are people that cannot see because the veil lies over their eyes. You know what Paul says? The veil usually lies over people, religious people's eyes. It's because they've got a system about how they got to make it, and they can't see Jesus. He said it like this: whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But when we come to Christ, he removes the veil so that we could see. And all these things that are swirling around me, the chaos, the stuff that's going on, that God is in the storm. And he's making all things do. And whatever he's doing in your life, he's wanting to produce in you this eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. He wants to use the bad, the good, the great, the ugly, the junk to do his most perfect work in our lives. And that's why we worship him, and that's why we praise him, because we want to look with eternal eyes. We want to look eternally. What's really interesting about this whole thought is that to fulfill what Jesus is asking us to fulfill in John chapter 10, when we look at the benefits and the privileges and the responsibilities, I believe and I have to see, but I also have to listen. Verse 27, back to John chapter 10, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I don't know much about shepherds and sheep, okay? Well, the things that I know about it is because people have commentated on these kinds of passages. But I do know a little bit about John Ann and our dogs. Those dogs love her. They don't love me. Those dogs follow her. They don't follow me, except if she's not around and I walk out the gate, they'll want to go for a little exercise. If we're both standing next to each other and we ask them to come, they're not going to come to me. They're going to come to her. There's a lot of times that we drive up and they know that she's not home, and that we drive up and I'll open the door and they look at me. And then they leave, and they go around, and they run hard, and they wait for the door to open. It's like that. Those dogs hear her voice, and they know her, okay? And they follow her, okay? Why? Because the man in the house, he doesn't touch me. He hardly ever acknowledges me, okay? He doesn't give me the treat. She gives me the treat of her presence, of her life, of her affection, of all those things. And when Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd," he's just like John Ann with our dogs. He showers this attention. He showers this life. He showers these treats. I'm going to call them treats because God treats us. And that's why we are people that we hear the voice of God. We don't want to hear another voice. We don't want to hear the man Fritcher. We want to hear her voice. We want to hear God's voice. My sheep hear my voice. You have ears to hear if you're in Christ. Choose to hear what God says about you. Not with what the world says about you. See, hear what God says about your failures. Not what people say about them. Hear God say, "These are the things I want you to see and the things I want you to hear." This is how you choose eternal life. Hearing the voice of God. You have this ability every day to listen to God, to have communication with him, to have fellowship with him. You have it. You have eyes to see. Choose to see. You have ears to hear. Choose to hear. Isaiah 30:20 says, "Your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left." He says this, "My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They know me. They follow me, and I give them this eternal life. And guess what? They will never, ever, ever perish." How are we going to follow Jesus? We're going to learn to see and to see what Jesus sees, to hear what Jesus hears, and to hear his voice that moves us through the momentary light affliction. Because that's what this life's all about. It's momentary life. Yeah, we have good things, and we have good things happen in our lives, and we have happy times. But listen, life is life. It's fallen. It's fallen. And yet God gives us this life so that we might move through by choosing this eternal life. Listen, you have faith today, so believe, trust. You have this eyes to see, these ears to hear, and God knows you. He knows you. Seek to know Him. Let go of what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, so that he may lay hold, he may seize God for the very reason why God seized him. And there's one other thing here. He certainly does hold you in His hand today. You shall never, ever perish, is what He says. No one shall snatch you out of the Father's hand. He keeps you. He never, ever lets go. Every one of us in here today who are seeking God can testify that He's not let go of me. Is that right? He's good. And He's never let go. This is what eternal life is about. It's the message of hope that we bring to people, that they can hear God and see God, that they can believe Him and put their trust in Him, that they can know for certain that He holds them in His hands and no one snatches them out of the Father's hand. No one! That's why it's called eternal. If he could snatch you out of the hand, it's not eternal. It's a life that can end. It's a life that can be taken away. That's why it's called eternal life. It's forever. But the question is, do you have this eternal life? Do you have the life of God living in you? Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Our God keeps us. Our God laid hold of us. We are to lay hold of Him, taking hold of eternal life, benefits, privileges, responsibilities. I have a responsibility today to choose Him, to fix my hope on Him, to be generous, to be ready to share, to do good things. That's what He told Timothy. He went on to tell him, He said, listen, we need to keep our hope fixed on Him. We need to do good. We need to be rich in good works. We need to be generous. We need to be ready to share. We need to guard what's been entrusted to us. We need to seize the day. Those are our responsibilities. Jesus said, I glorified you on earth, Father, having accomplished the work which you've given me to do. And God has given every one of us a work to do. We have responsibilities. We have assignments for the kingdom of God, for eternal life. And I want to ask you, church, will you take hold of it today? Last week, we looked at a verse of Scripture in Deuteronomy. It said, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And you do that by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life. This is your life. Loving God, hearing, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. And when you're doing those things, you realize He's the one that's loving you and holding you fast to Him. Well, I believe that today. God, we thank you. We thank you that no matter what we go through in this life, you say it is light and it's momentary. And it's affliction and it hurts. But you promise that you'll take the momentary light affliction and produce for us an eternal weight of glory. The glory that you had with the Father before. The glory that you gave Jesus. The glory from God. Producing for us an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Eternal life. Let us pray, oh God, to you to say, thank you for this eternal life. May we seize it. May we seize it and truly manifest you as eternal life people. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.
Come. Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on